There we go. And that end of things is happening. All right, podcast audio recording, Facebook Live going, Blog Talk Radio going, get it on the website, get it on the Facebook page, the Tumblr, the Twitter, and tagging people. I have 50 people of the tag list done. I have like 55 more to go, and then we'll have the tag list up. That should be fun, right? All right. So, let's go ahead and see what the hell we can do here with these, boys. Boop-a-doo-doo. There you go. Yeah, come around my way.
Barry sold my shit up. Knuckles all fat and shit. Side though, it's all good. Lift his ass so bad, his stepmom's gonna feel me for the next 3 birthdays out this motherfucker.
Look what his homeboy did to the side of your head.
What you talking about, kid? This shit, he ain't fading nothing over here, though.
One ass whooping, man. There's still one.
How you figure that, man? Look around you, man. They own this shit. They own this couch you sitting on. Them shoes you got on your feet. This building. This school. This country. You. We behind enemy lines, dog. One beat down will never compare to 439 years of captivity. Never. I don't know shit. Freshman.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
They on this couch you sitting on.
This show.
Them shoes you got on your feet.
Is brought to you.
This building.
By the fuck.
This school. This country. You.
That Father Teresa does not give.
Alright. WineCellarMedia.com. Social Dissonance, A Critical Analysis of Justice, Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kalita. This is William J. Jackson, a.k.a. Dark Skin Nigglesworth, doing black stuff, as one might suspect I could be doing. I titled this one, A Meeting with Top Gang Thugs, because apparently that's what the fuck street men that run Chicago are. They are top gang thugs. I have no idea what the fuck made that man say that shit out of his face. Sean Spicer, the new Spice One's little homie. For some reason, these niggas don't know Frederick Douglass is dead. They don't even know he exists. The fact that you don't know he's dead shows me you don't know he exists. That motherfucker, David Pakman, over at the David Pakman program, I was checking out his shit yesterday, and he did pretty good coverage that Donald Trump, niggas don't want to say illiterate, but like, he's definitely Roy Jones with it. Like, Donald Trump is legitimately Roy Jones with the reading. Like, niggas keep like bugging out like Alex Jones and those other motherfuckers, and I'm gonna riff on them niggas in a second. Like, they're like, oh, he goes without a teleprompter. That's because he doesn't read well. He's not a good reader. And again, that speaks to the caste system. You don't have to, if you're the boss, you don't have to be good at the job. You don't, like, the really all you have to be good at is fucking, is not rocking the boat, if you will. And that doesn't take any goddamned effort. Alright, so that's what's going on there. Alright, let's see what the hell else we have, right? So, WineCellarMedia.com. Ooh. Live on the Facebook, podcast, audio, recording. And we got some shit going on, right? So, somebody is a school board trustee after calling a black mother the N-word. A mother of a student at the school. A white woman attacks a black Broadway actor. That's fun. Everybody's into that. That's pretty cool. A white man in Everett, Washington State stabs a black man for allegedly watching a white woman. Isn't it great that that story is coming on the heels of the Emmett Till update? And that's coming on the heels of, like, when you really dig into more of that context of, like, the high fives and the police cops wearing the pussycat hats at the Women's March, you know, the white woman's march, the white classist march. But we got some good audio from that, some Janet Mock audio. I asked niggas to hit me up, and niggas hit me up with some good shit, so we'll get to that shit cracking. Another white woman attacked an elderly Korean woman, like, really busted her shit up real proper, like fucked her whole entire shit up. Like, she was bleeding like a motherfucker down in Los Angeles. A Cleveland cop was found with more than 60 guns, including a submachine gun that was seized from his home when his home was searched after he was charged with raping his girlfriend. All right, more good cops. Update on Daniel Holtzclaw. So remember when Holtzclaw disappeared and Phoenix Kalita was like, I'm gonna look into that shit. And, like, before you nigga even had time to look into that shit, Holtzclaw's attorneys pop up, like, we're gonna try to appeal that conviction. 50-50, he gets that appeal. A child rape victim is terrified because her attacker is back on the streets. And, like, in close proximity to her, like, right back blam in the same town. A New York Police Department sergeant is found guilty of raping a 13-year-old girl. That's always going on. And and another rapist cop update, right? So we got the rapist cop update on the from the SACB, great journalism there, and out of Sacramento, California, with the woman in the elderly home. This is another one, and very similar. I think about $1 million difference, $2.5 million payout proposed. Just proposed. This story isn't over yet. $2.5 million payout proposed after a rape by a Milwaukee cop. And Milwaukee is one of those predominantly colored folk areas. All right, so we'll look more into that story as time goes the fuck on. 100 years ago... Just roughly, not exactly today, but just to dance it back a couple days this week. 100 years ago today, sex workers marched for their rights in San Francisco. Oh, Jesus Christ. A trial is set for the Tulsa cop charged with the death of an unarmed man. Remember that story about that that white woman cop that shot a black colored feller? And you know what? Like, niggas might trip. Like, you know, her picture's nice. Like, she's smiling in her picture and she's a white woman smiling, so she looks more innocent. Those are the pictures I want. Like, I want those pictures next to the word rapist. I want those pictures next to the word murderer. You know what I'm saying? Like start busting up that conventional wisdom behind what you see in that image of the police uniform and that fucking smile. Like, start seeing that image and that smile next to what they really are. All right, they're fucking state-sanctioned land pirates. Yeah, so that's down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. An Oklahoma police officer accused of manslaughter in the death of a man will be getting a trial in May. So this story is long from over. Trial starts in May. All right, it's fucking February, March, April, then May. So this was last September. 40-year-old Terrence Crutcher was shot and murdered by good cop Betty Shelby after his car was stopped in the middle of the roadway. All right, and of course she lied, said he's walking toward me with his hand in his pocket. Video shows he has his hands in the air walking away as usual. Of course, this update comes on the heels of yet again. Let's mention it again. The update on the Emmett Till, where she said, I'm a fucking liar. So what? Little niggers get killed. So what? Hey, go fuck yourself. And then she said it ruined her life. Ruined your life, nigga. Ruined your life. She actually said those words in, to the person that was interviewing her, that her fucking life got ruined by that Emmett Till shit. Get my audio cracking. There we go. I changed it up. The audio in the background, like the background music, I got rid of the instrumentals because it was getting redundant, you know, and I just dropped in like probably like 700 or so MP3s of just songs, and maybe even skits and shit are in there too. And then I just turned the bass way up, turned the mids way down, and turned the high all the way on the right, the graphic equalizer, all the way up. So that it's kind of like a bassy background. I'll see how that works out in the archive when I check it out after this episode is posted. I think it could be dope. All right, what in the holy heck darn else is going on? Virginia attempts to legalize taxpayer-funded LGBT discrimination. And Virginia wants killer cops to remain anonymous longer. You know what that is? See, it's not, and they run this bullshit that it's anonymous for the cops' safety. Bullshit. They want them anonymous from media scrutiny and fucking niggas on black Twitter getting up in that ass. That's what they want them, that's what they want those motherfuckers to have their fucking anonymity for. So black Twitter don't get up in that ass. And so that black podcasters don't get up on that ass. That niggas in Facebook don't get up in that ass. That that the white niggas that's down with us don't get up in that ass. And everybody else. Like, that's what the fuck that shit is for. Fucking safety. Get the fuck out of here. This motherfucker got... Cops got all kind of guns, nigga. That's fucking street military, nigga. The fuck they scared of? They ain't scared of shit. Don't ever let nobody trick you into thinking a cop is scared of shit. They don't have shit to be scared of. They're the predator, nigga. Motherfucking lion ain't scared of no damn gazelle. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. Just going and checking to see if I'm missing, if I'm missing, comments in the comments section. Why isn't this shit loading? Okay, I have no idea why that shit's not loading. So I can't see the fucking comments right now, just in case anybody's saying shit. All right, so I want to get to Janet Mock down there at the Woman's March. Ooh, I guess right before that, I'll show you something funny for the Facebook watchers. This is just a funny video that's just been sitting in my archives, and I never fucking reposted it or anything. It's this nigga Wacky Flacky Flames. And he's a garbage rapper. I don't fuck with no wacky flacky flames. I think it's garbage on the mic. But this was a funny ass moment because he showed you that he don't catch Mayo fever. Nigga, fuck no. Oh. See, for the podcast listeners, like, Becky ran up on him doing some dancing, I guess. And he just staring at her and then just walks away. Yeah, that shit was clowning. That was good for you. That was very good for you. All right, let's take a look here. Let's, bop, 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 bop. Okay, Janet Mock at the Woman Ladies March. And while that plays, I'll be able to look into some shit.
National organizer. Yay! And it is our honor and privilege to bring the next speaker to the stage, the one and only author and activist, Janet Mock. Woo!
I love you. So we are here. We are here not merely to gather, but to move, right? And our movements require us to do more than just show up and say the right words. It requires us to break out of our comfort zones and be confrontational. It requires us to defend one another when it is difficult and dangerous. It requires us to truly see ourselves and one another. I stand here today as the daughter of a Native Hawaiian woman and a Black veteran from Texas. I stand here as the first person in my family to go to college. I stand here as someone who has written herself onto this stage to unapologetically proclaim that I am a trans woman writer, activist, revolutionary of color. And I stand here today because of the work of my forebears, from Sojourner to Sylvia, from Ella to Audrey, from Harriet to Marsha. I stand here today most of all because I am my sister's keeper. My sisters and siblings are being beaten and brutalized, neglected and invisibilized, extinguished and exiled. My sisters and siblings have been pushed out of hostile homes and intolerant schools. My sisters and siblings have been forced into detention facilities and prisons and deeper into poverty. And I hold these harsh truths close. They enrage me and fuel me, but I cannot survive on righteous anger alone. Today, by being here, it is my commitment to getting us free that keeps me marching. Our approach to freedom need not be identical, but it must be intersectional and inclusive. It must extend beyond ourselves. I know with surpassing certainty that my liberation is directly linked to the liberation of the undocumented trans Latina yearning for refuge, the disabled student seeking unequivocal access, the sex worker fighting to make her living safely.
Oh.
Collective liberation and solidarity is difficult work. It is work that will find us struggling together and struggling with one another. Just because we are oppressed does not mean that we do not ourselves fall victim to enacting the same unconscious policing, shaming, and erasing. We must return to one another with greater accountability and commitment to the work. Today, by being here, you are making a commitment to this work. Together, we are creating a resounding statement that stakes a claim on our lives and our loves, our bodies and our babies, our identities and our ideals. But a movement is so much more than a march. A movement is that difficult space between our reality and our vision. Our liberation depends on all of us returning to our homes and using this experience and all the experiences that have shaped us to act, to organize, to resist. Thank you.
All right, so that was Janet Mock up in the joint at the Woman Ladies March. Woman's marching, that's the spirit of the Jezebel. And I was, again, like, looking at some of my old archives and finding, like, old stuff, and it's like, those motherfuckers, that's not some shit that they just recently said. Like, I know niggas gotta work and shit, niggas have family and shit to take care of. Like, I nerd out on this stuff constantly, and, cause I'm an introvert, and, like, this is my busy. Doing this is me being busy. And, those motherfuckers, they always say spirit of the Jezebel. You can go back 4 years, 20 years, 30 years, this obsession with the spirit of the Jezebel, and that's because they've only read one book. Like, these niggas haven't even read Amelia Bedelia. Read Berenstain Bears. The Too Much Junk Food book of Berenstain Bears is really good. Like, read that shit. Read something else. They only read one book, and they only read the fucking, New International something or other. Oh, Jesus, fuck, man. All right, more news, more comment, more stuff, more things, more wine cellar. What the hell's going on? Update, Daniel Martha Fracken Holtzclaw, rapist cop, normal cop, just like every other cop. Understand, understood, good. So, Oklahoma City police officer convicted of sexually assaulting women while on duty is appealing his conviction and the 263-year prison sentence. Which, what? 200? That's people that just really like saying numbers. You know, good and goddamn well that's life. Online court of criminal appeals records indicate attorneys for the 30-year-old Daniel Holtzclaw, a former out and about getting doing his thing rapist, filed his appeal Wednesday this week. Right now, this is Friday as we're doing this program. Now, among other things, attorneys allege the evidence at Holtzclaw's 2015 trial was insufficient to convict him of charges, and that he didn't receive a fair trial because of a circus atmosphere during the highly publicized case. It was not highly publicized. It was highly tweeted and highly podcasted. It was not highly publicized. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. All right. Holtzclaw also claims his attorneys were ineffective during his trial. In the court document, Holtzclaw's attorneys say, his trial counsel was ineffective for failing to investigate and use extant relevant evidence by way of his own expert witness, which would have called attention to misstatements of fact by the state's own expert witness, as well as bolstered an alternate and innocent explanation for the presence of one alleged victim's DNA on Mr. Holtzclaw's uniform trousers. Trousers? You said trousers in 2017? Fuck you. Thereby preventing important information from reaching Mr. Holtzclaw's jury. Now, DNA from one of the victims was found on the inside of the outside zipper. Inside and outside of the zipper area of Holtzclaw's uniform trousers, as well as DNA from other individuals. God, he's a nasty motherfucker. That's a nasty motherfucker, man. So he's raping motherfuckers, and and then not doing his fucking nasty ass rapist laundry, and then raping another motherfucker with his nasty ass rapist laundry on, and then, you realize it said others, plural, one and then others. It didn't say one and then one other, singular, one and others, plural, spirit fingers, many victims, nasty ass motherfucker. Just kill him. Just kill him. Alright? Do some Beavis and Butthead shit to him. Put him in a giant tire and roll him down a hill. See what happens. Roll him toward the railroad tracks. Put him on railroad tracks. Kill him. Jesus fucking Christ. And you can see that full story at winecellarmedia.com. Share it with your friends. Tag them. That means more people seeing our content, more people hitting the PayPal and the Patreon, and then we can do this shit full time. And I don't have to wait until my day off when I'm not tired as fuck. As fuck. Alright? Now, some shit that I was riffing about. I had made a little post about it in the privately owned social networks. And it was, and I just thought of it. It's that shit that's in the back of your head. And it's like, ah, I'm going to post about that soon. I'm going to post about that soon. And you never fucking do it. And then I fucking, Alex Jones was on Joe Rogan's podcast this week. He was on the Wednesday episode. And then they post the archive Thursday morning. And fucking, and I just had this, I made this post. This is in the social networks, William J. Jackson. Joe Rogan is the perfect example of social justice hysteria, all right? They live and function in an echo chamber, all right? They have developed a hive mind that everything and everyone that presents a critique of them and conventional wisdom to be SJWs. They think everything outside of their bubble is going hard left and a danger to them. They can't have rational discussions. They can't look at anything objectively. They have convinced themselves that they are victims of an attack from white women, black women, reverse racist, LGBT folks, Democrats, progressives, environmentalists, you fucking name it. They think they're being attacked. It's their paranoid McCarthyism of the day. All right, Alex Jones, Milo, Bannon, MRAs, Sargon of Akkad, and all the like, they're caught up in this groupthink that everyone's coming for them. And they're collectively faux-triggered, all right? They can't handle the presence of us in the free market of ideas, and they have isolated themselves into an ideologically homogenized safe space, all right? And, you know, and they're lashing out. They're lashing out at non-existent perpetrators of imagined oppression. All right. Hashtag social justice hysteria. You know, and I keep thinking, like, I want to make a shout out to the homie Loco. I don't want to try to pronounce your name on there. Like, the homie Hernandez. Yeah, what up, Loco? Posted up in the joint. And, yeah, thank you niggas. Y'all niggas be keeping it gangster. If nobody's checking out what I'm saying, then I got a weird platform. I'm just yelling into the mist. And I was thinking, like, all the time, like, I got some homie locos, like, I got a little squad that keeps the Father Teresa, Wine Cellar news page going with, like, straight links to news sources, like CNN and shit, right? The homie loco, Penny Loco and Lisa Loco, like, I got the homies over on the social dissonance page, a critical analysis of justice, that's cracking. Phoenix Kaleeder has the page in the Facebooks, reading in the shade with Phoenix Kaleeder, that's cracking. White on white crime, I just post memes there. That's not a serious page. I post memes, it's funny. Same, Becky Lives Matter, memes and articles, it's funny. WineCellarMedia.com, you know, we do the podcast from there. That's our podcast page. And I'm thinking, like, the next page that I'll do by myself, and then, like, after I get it up and running, like, whoever's, like, down with me and, like, really knows what I'm going for with it, pass it off to them. You know, that's what I like to do. I like to get shit cracking and then, you know, give it to somebody. Socialize the Facebook pages. And I want to fucking, I want to make a social justice hysteria. And then just go on YouTube and go to those little MRA videos, those Joe Rogan videos, and clown on them niggas for bugging out for no fucking reason. They have no reason to bug out. Let me see, the homie Loco. She said, yell away and put a, I now know that that's a smiley face. I used to wonder, like, why are people putting a colon and a parenthesis? Like a colon and parenthesis, because it's like a colon and then it's a half a toilet. And I'm like, what are you going to do with your colon and a half a toilet? You need a whole toilet. Like, you just ate fucking Sloppy Joe's. You need a whole toilet. All right, we're getting disgusting here. So, the title of this episode... Oh, shit, I should be checking the phone bank, shouldn't I? That's 347-857-3937. And, so the title of this one... Meeting with Top Gang Thugs. Yeah, that's a thing that's happening. People are meeting with top gang thugs. I mean, apparently that's a fact-based fact. So let's go over there and take a look at that. Podcast listeners, you'll hear the audio. Facebook viewers, you'll see the video. And Facebook viewers, you can also see, I like having low lighting because... I'm not taking care of my beard at all. That's part of why I have a bandana around my neck. I'm just covering up the shame. Like, I am not doing a good... Since I left that other job where it's like, you gotta shave! And now I'm at the warehouse where it's like, fuck it! I haven't been fucking shaving. And my shit is ridiculous. Like, it is no excuse for this, man. I look fucking primal. Alright, so, and you know what I think about this shit, right? When you hear people say things like, I've been meeting with top gang thugs, you think to yourself,
politics is weird and creepy, and now I know lacks even the loosest attachment to anything like reality.
Alright, that's all you could think. Politics is weird and creepy, right? Oh, man. Now, where the fuck is that motherfucker? So these niggas met up with Donald Trump, and, you know, Trump wants to put martial law down in Chicago, and here goes fucking Coon Boy. Oh, wait. Whoops and Daisy. That was the wrong clip. That was back to the Wacky Flacky Flames. Oh, and that's another one. Oh, shit. So I don't fucking, I'm gonna have to go, I'm gonna have to actually go to YouTube to get it. You know, like, and they're doing this shit, like, this is really just, like, what I guess people will call, like, spitting in the eye or, spitting on the grave of, like, cause it's, they're rocking out in Black History Month. They're rocking this shit out at, like, on and after Martin Luther King Day. And Donald Trump is talking about, like, bringing down the fucking heat of the government on these niggas. And these black people want to go fucking meet up with him about it and shit. And, like, and I hear what niggas like Scotty Reed are saying, where he's like, hey, see if you could try to get something out of him. Try to get something out of him. I get what niggas like Jimmy Dore and Bernie Sanders are saying, where they're like, well, fuck, if he's against the TPP, good. You know, but it's like, y'all niggas meeting with him in favor of martial law. In favor of martial law, fuck you. Fuck you. In favor of martial law. Like, so they're basically just gonna go fucking bug out on Chicago with a full-on military presence. Phoenix Kalita's laptop drives me straight up the wall. Like, this thing... What is the problem with this thing? I'm dying to make it work. Okay, so apparently Firefox doesn't work on Phoenix Kalita's laptop anymore. Like, it's just no more Firefox. You only get Google Chrome. It's legitimately just not coming up. While live broadcasting, I should have hit pause on the recording. Okay. So, YouTube. Alright, so... meeting with gang leaders, right? Trump. All right, so let's get down to this. I'm really gonna have to edit this shit down. You know what? While that's going on, while I'm getting this shit up, I should keep the show alive. Because that's just irresponsible broadcasting if I don't. So, trigger warning. We played the trigger warning at the beginning of the program. So here goes a very fucked up story. A child rape victim.
Tonight, a child rapist is back on the street and his victim is terrified.
Not only has the criminal been paroled, he's now living just blocks away from her. Problem solver Rob Wolchek spoke with the victim and tried to speak to the offender.
The victim is afraid to go shopping, go to work, drive her car. She's afraid she'll cross paths with the man who sexually assaulted her for years. Why is he on parole? And why is he living so close to her? This is the home of a convicted child rapist. A man who spent 23 years behind bars. A man his victim still wants locked up.
I'm more in fear now more than ever.
Last month I told you the story of Tiffany, who as a 12-year-old girl was brutally raped by her stepfather countless times. His name is Richard McBrayer.
He raped me orally. In both other places, to the point to where I missed almost a half of year in my eighth grade year of school because I was so doubled over and my bowels were blocked so bad that I almost died.
After 2 years of abuse, Tiffany finally got up the nerve to turn her rapist in. At age 14, she recorded McBrayer on this very tape recorder and played it for her mother. Soon, McBrayer, an ex-cop, was locked up. He pled guilty to 2 counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct and was sentenced to 2 terms of 20 to 40 years in prison. Then, last Easter Sunday, while Tiffany and her own teenage daughter were in their car at this intersection near their Roseville home, she saw McBrayer at a traffic light. Tiffany says she was never notified he was on parole. Her attorney, Carrie Angie, petitioned the court and managed to get McBrayer back behind bars, but it was only temporary. Last week, McBrayer was again released into the public to a house in Tiffany's hometown. This is his car, so I went to the door of the house he now lives in to hear what he may have to say. Whoever was behind the door recognized me, but wouldn't give up Richard McBrayer. Is Richard here?
I'm a very big fan of yours. Do not do this.
Okay, I'm just trying to talk to Richard.
I know that's not going to happen.
I left a business card, but haven't heard from McBrayer. My questions to him would be, is he still a danger? Are kids in the neighborhood safe? And is the victim he admitted to raping more than 20 years ago safe?
Clearly, I am terrified for myself and my family and the public that I would even put myself out here like this.
In addition to defending the parole board, the appellate division of the Attorney General's office is planning to weigh in on Tiffany's side and try to put McBrayer back behind bars.
You can see it behind me. It's pretty empty in DuPont Circle, but just up the hill here, at the Washington Hilton, where they have the Washington or the White House Correspondents' Dinner every year, the National Prayer Breakfast is meeting. There's a protest of the evangelicals outside the event. I'm gonna go.
Okay, so that one ended. You know what? We'll let this next one keep going. Oh, there goes the homie Loco. There goes Sophia Loco. And, these are Christians in favor of the refugees. They're against the Muslim ban.
You can see it behind me. It's pretty empty in DuPont Circle. But just up the hill here at the Washington Hilton, where they have the Washington, or the White House Correspondents' Dinner, every year, the National Prayer Breakfast is meeting. There's a protest of evangelicals outside the event. I'm going to go and talk to some of the folks there, see who's there, and what they have to say.
Welcome back. I think once you look into the eyes of people who have fled war, who have left home because home has become the mouth of a monster, you realize that national security can't ever negate compassion for people who need refuge. Jesus was a refugee. We're called to love our neighbor with no exception.
The immigration and refugee executive orders run contrary to our values and the values of many people of faith in this country. So we're here to make sure that refugees know that they're welcome and to know, let people know that we won't abide by these executive orders that Donald Trump and his White House have put out.
We just really wanted this to be a prayerful witness of a time where we can come have courage ourselves, and as one of the clergy prayed this morning before we came in, that our witness would give moral courage to people walking in the room. Compassion and security don't have to be mutually exclusive. I think that I know how the refugee resettlement program works. I know how thorough the vetting is. I think there's a lot of fear around and there's a lot of misinformation, and so most people that you talk to have heard the rhetoric and say, well, we just, and of course anyone's saying, we just need to get security right and then we can be compassionate. But the reality is that being a refugee is one of the hardest ways to get into this country. It's not an easy way for, say, terrorists to infiltrate or anything like that.
There's already extreme vetting for refugees. It takes on average 18 to 24 months for a refugee to come into the country. They go through 9 different agencies. Government agencies before they're approved to come. Our refugee family, our newcomer family, has told us that they have family in Aleppo eating grass. I just think we're called as the church right now to stand up and to be on the right side of history that says we will risk, we will open the doors for children who are starving. If we as Christians say we're pro-life, it means we have to be pro-refugee.
We can't serve people in our churches and ignore when politics takes and politicians take action that would harm them. We're not forgetting about this EO. We're going to affirm when he does good, and we're going to stand up when he does wrong. And that's what we're here for. I'm glad to be outside of the prayer breakfast this year.
Have you one out there?
All right, so I mean, y'all need to just stop being Christians. That's another idea. It's not like that shit's real any fucking way. All right, so those are the Christians for refugees. Not very big, and definitely not going to be covered by the social justice hysteria crowd. Yeah, no. All right, so let's try that again with this with these top gang thugs. Let me go ahead and reach on over here and pause. All right.
Tough talk from President Donald Trump, prompted by this man, an Ohio pastor who says he's talking to Chicago gang members to make our city safer. Good evening, I'm Rob Johnson.
And I'm Erica Sargent. That pastor allowed President Donald Trump to tee off on Chicago and its crime problem again today. And as CBS2 political reporter Derek Blakely reports, the president supports the pastor's impromptu effort to broker a truce among warring street gangs.
Now, that's not going to happen because the shit is over resources. Again, capitalism is the problem, not the fucking, the sets they're from. The sets they're from are just, basically, they're little countries. And think about it, they have flags, they have turf, right? Like, they claim an area, they have pride, and that, in that respect, they are a microcosm of nationalism. Oh, there goes Sophia Loco getting back to work. Niggas is on the clock, keeping it gangster. And, with capitalism, so much of the distribution of resources is concentrated to so few. And then, this shit didn't start with Reagan. It's always been trickle down. Trickle down economics is the status quo and has been. That's why the people at the bottom fight over the fucking scraps. Yeah, fucking shitting me? So, the capitalism is the problem. Not the fucking, not the guys, and they're not hot-headed, they're not ill-tempered. They're hungry. They're hungry and they're broke. All right.
A Cleveland clergyman told President Trump Chicago gang figures reached out to him about meeting to reduce street violence.
I was recently contacted by some of the top gang thugs in Chicago.
Top gang thugs? Nigga, you, now I know you're fucking lying because you're not even saying shit that makes any fucking sense. Like, you would have said, I'm talking to OGs of the hood. Or if you really want to be, like, professional in professional setting, you would say I was talking to senior members of street-based organizations. Top gang thugs? Like, you sound like somebody that doesn't like gangster rap critiquing an album. This is that gang thug music. And Phoenix Kaliter, as on an alternative account in the comments section, said, but you know, he recanted on Twitter after being called out. Yeah, that's what this is, because I couldn't get the original to play, so I'm just rolling with the update. Yeah, this is that update on MSN.com.
Chicago for a sit down. They reached out to me because they associated me. I was recently contacted by some of the top gang thugs in Chicago.
Some of the top gang thugs. That makes no motherfuck sense. You can be a member of a gang and be thuggish. Like, just colloquially speaking, thug is libertarian in nature. Gang is socialized. Ah!
For a sit down. They reached out to me because they associated me with you. They respect you. They believe in what you're doing. And they want to have a sit down about lowering that body count. Great idea.
Really? So the top gang thugs, niggas in Chicago in the motherfucking hood, they're like, yo, my man Trump is about to get down, son. Really? That's what you're saying out loud in front of people on purpose? You see, and that it's perfectly fine to call a motherfucker a coon-ass motherfucking sellout. Coon-ass sellout. Niggas like Gusty Renegade, like, no name calling. Black people have been socialized to be mad at other black people. Niggas that sell out the whole motherfucking hood? Fuck you. Who else be on that shit? Tariq Nasheed is all about calling niggas coons, but he calls niggas coons for being gay, so he don't fuck what he's talking about. Yeah, did I say Scotty Reed? If I said Scotty Reed, I'm going to say Gusty Renegade is on that don't call names shit. Elon James White is on that can't call anybody a coon shit. Get the fuck out of here. That's some coon ass shit to say, nigga.
Was totally out of control.
But later, Scott backtracked a bit, telling WBBM News Radio,
"Well, let me clarify former gang leaders."
He's going to clarify they're former gang leaders. They're no longer top gang thugs. They're former gang leaders. Ah, outstanding.
They're still connected with the pulse of the streets. They still have their fingerprint and footprint in the community.
Pastor Scott is a Trump supporter, a member of his transition team, and some Chicago ministers view his intervention with suspicion. Do you know who Daryl Scott is?
First of all, I never heard of him before in my life. And second of all, if you've got this kind of relationship, where have you been?
But Pastor Corey Brooks says he knows some of...
That said Michael Flager. Somebody somewhere, let me know Michael Flager. Is that that motherfucker that, that was clowning on Hillary for crying in 2008.
The former gang member Scott contacted and welcomes his presence.
We have to open our arms and be welcome of individuals who want to come in and help us with the problems. But again, time will tell if he's sincere or if he's not sincere, if he's doing this for political gain or political reasons.
You got gainful employment, education? They said they're coming down there with military, with cops, with guns. They're coming down there with force. They didn't say they're coming with books. They didn't say they're coming with food. They didn't say they're coming with manufacturing positions. They didn't say they're coming to build a warehouse, to build a factory. They said they're coming to do what Hillary said, bring them to heel. All right, they came to 1994, your ass.
Pastor Scott says he plans to come here from Cleveland for those meetings later this month, along with NFL Hall of Famer Jim Brown and boxer Floyd Mayweather.
And this nigga said Floyd Mayweather. God damn, you Grinch-looking motherfucker. Ah, I paused it on the perfect spot, too. That nigga looked goofy than a motherfucker in that still shot. Floyd Mayweather. Alright, so we got Top Gang Thugs and Floyd Mayweather. That's going on. God, everything is fucked up. This gonna be... I thought my first 4 years of podcasting was tough. This next 4 years about to be a motherfucker.
Curious footnote. For all of Pastor Scott's concern about Chicago street violence, conditions in his hometown are dire as well. Cleveland, in fact, has a higher per capita murder rate than Chicago.
Now, did this pastor talk at all about his track record for even addressing crime in his own city?
No, he didn't talk about that in what we saw in the meeting.
Damn, why are they getting at him? They getting at him now. God damn. Who was this colored woman that popped that question out like that?
In the White House with Donald Trump, our Audrina Bigas, however, had a conversation with him, and you're going to hear more about that on the CBS 2 News.
So he's contacting them, or they're contacting him? It's still unclear to me.
Well, his original story was that he was contacted by these gang members. However, then they became former gang members, and I think there's another change in his story now. He says he was put in touch with them by another pastor. Mm. So it's a bit of a shifting sands there.
Very
on exactly the origin of all this.
Kidding. All right, Derek, thank you.
All right, Derek, thank you. You're a good feller. What the fuck? God damn it. What is with the fucking autoplay? I don't know where the volume button is on this thing. It's just autoplaying a commercial. Phoenix Kalita in the chat room on the alternate account said, but note that Corey Brooks has never been on a set. No bossy. The fuck? Yo, that typo was so bad, I can't make out what word it's supposed to be. Corey Brooks has never been on a set, and this preacher named has ever been on a set. Oh, shit. So these some off-brand niggas. Them niggas ain't even from no hood, so maybe they are top gang thugs, because they ain't from no hood. And she said, but honestly, it all makes sense. Martial law, dead bodies, filled coffers, offering plates at funeral services, they not that slick. And then also, I mean, speculating like a motherfucker. I am not endorsing my own lightweight prediction here. But like, fucking stock in private prisons went up. Imagine, like, not just Chicago, but start throwing niggas in prisons all around, right? You know, rounding up immigrants and putting them in detention centers. And making motherfuckers labor building parts of what? The fucking wall. I don't know. It's a thought. It's a maybe. Excuse. It's a who knows. Alright, so maybe we should head on back to WineCellarMedia.com and see what the motherfucking Farkle Flaggle is going down in the streets. So how does someone remain on a school board after calling a mother the N-word? A white woman attacks a black Broadway actor. Everett White man stabs a black man for allegedly watching a white woman. And this guy. So, you know what? Let's go over to this cop. And, you know, they just mentioned Cleveland, but they won't talk about the niggas in Cleveland. Let's look at the motherfucking white cop in Cleveland. What the fuck is going on with the cops, nigga? And this slow-ass laptop. So the folks, I have this up here so folks can see on the Facebook Live. So fucking buzz cut here. That's a fucked up ass haircut. Yo, that nigga's haircut ain't about shit. So he's basically, he is a heavily armed rapist, is what the fuck this guy is. Heavily armed rapist. Lots of guns, lots of heats, mega straps. Do-do-do-do-do, skibbity-flip-bop-a-dibba-doo. Phoenix Kalita is a freckled Jew. And, so Ohio authorities, they seized more than 60 firearms, including 50 pistols, 5 assault rifles, and a submachine gun from a Cleveland police officer charged with raping and pistol whipping his live-in girlfriend, records say. Right, his name is Tommy Griffin III. Kind of like Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III. A 51-year-old individual remains behind bars this past Thursday. So just fucking yesterday. After a Cuyahoga County judge continued a $250,000 bond at a video arraignment in a common pleas court. Now, a grand jury on Monday handed up charges including rape, felonious assault, kidnapping, and domestic violence against a patrolman in Cleveland's 1st District. Griffin is also charged with pandering obscenity. The fuck is that? Pandering obscenity? Is that what I do? I'm obscene. Am I? I don't know. Alright, this nigga he's an obscene panderer. So he's charged with pandering obscenity, and the nature of that charge was not described in the court documents or the initial reports about Griffin's arrest. Get the fuck out of here. He has remained jailed since North Royalton police arrested him at gunpoint January 14th at the Royalton Road Tavern. The Judge John P. O'Donnell on Thursday continued the bond, and there is a link to that. And it's in the Parma Municipal Court, and ordered him to have no contact with the victim, who was moved out of the home and tested for HIV, a standard procedure in cases involving rape charges. Prosecutors had asked O'Donnell to double Griffin's bond to $500,000, citing mental health issues and concern for the safety of both the victim and Griffin. Fuck that nigga. Other people aren't safe with him in the world. Shit, the fucking inmates next to him ain't safe. Quote, the victim is in complete fear, and this police officer used his gun to commit his crimes, end quote. From the assistant Cuyahoga County prosecutor, Anna Faraglia. Faraglia said in a search after Griffin's arrest and the address associated with him turned up 70 guns. 70 guns. And, and the headline they gave me was just more than 60. And the court records show that the police seized 67 of those guns, including 50 of them being handguns of different calibers, 5 assault rifles, including an AK-47, an Israeli 9mm Uzi submachine gun, and 7 long rifles and 4 shotguns. Jesus, ball sack and Christ. Griffin's lawyer, Patrick Leary, said that Griffin poses no flight risk and has ties to the community. Leary asked for a $100,000 bond. Fuck you, Leary. Fucking ass master. Oh, the word was supposed to be nobody. from Phoenix Cleater with the typo early R. All right, Jesus, motherfuck. Griffin found, wait, hold on, Griffin's case was randomly assigned to Judge Maureen Clancy's courtroom. Griffin found his 42-year-old girlfriend with another man on January 13th, court reports said. So you fucking raper? What is your fucking deal? You gotta kill this motherfucker, man. You cannot have this walking around. Alright, so Griffin found his 42-year-old girlfriend with another man on January 13th, court reports said, and Griffin called police. The other man told Parma officers the woman had invited him over for the weekend. The man voluntarily left. A little after midnight the next day, Griffin attacked his girlfriend as she slept in her state road home. What the fuck is going on with this fucking guy? Griffin pistol whipped her and punched her in the face several times, police said. He fired two shots into the mattress inches from her head. Yo, that's what that motherfucker, Not Alan Grayson, but the other Alan. Alan West. That's what he got, dishonorably discharged from the military for, because that was like a form of torture. How is having that many guns legal, says the homie Hernandez up in the joint. Ties to the community, right? Ties to the community? What, like, so probably, that probably just means he has more rape victims out there. They just didn't come forward. That's his motherfucker's ties to the communities. Fuck this nigga. Check this shit out. He ordered the woman to take a shower, then forced her to the basement of the home and pointed the gun at her again. According to court records, Griffin then forced her to perform a sex act on him at gunpoint. Griffin drove... And this motherfucker... Yo. That's why motherfuckers don't like lawyers. That's why motherfuckers don't like shit. I don't like shit. I really don't like much of anything. I just want a cat. Like, I just want me... I could be homeless. I just want me and my cat in a fucking alley. I don't give a shit. Fuck everything. Lawyer argue for $100,000. You should be, as his lawyer, you should be arguing for a compassionate killing of him. Like, frame it like that, lawyer. You're a word nerd. Frame it like that. We need to compassionately murder him because he's off his fucking rocker. Griffin drove away from the home, and a family member of the woman called Parma police after being unable to reach her by phone. The relative asked police to check on her. The relative told police the woman and Griffin had a volatile relationship. Nigga. You mean... fuck it. Jesus Christ. Parma police went to the home on State Road and found it in disarray, police said. The woman had suffered severe facial injuries. That's from Lieutenant Kevin Riley of the Parma police. They tracked Griffin's phone and found him at 1:30 p.m. Saturday at Park Tavern North in Royalton, where he was taken into custody and booked into Parma's County City Jail. Griffin was hired as a Cleveland police officer in 1994. He was awarded the department's Distinguished Service Medal in 2009. Ain't he a good cop? And that's why, like on WineCellarMedia.com, like, you can categorize your stories. I have all of these stories under hashtag good cops. Good cops, normal cops, just like the rest of the cops. And just like with these stories, we'll hit you with the updates as they come. Sometimes they come next week. Sometimes they come in 4 months. But we get those motherfucking updates on these good cops. Ah, Jesus Christ. Daria fan art. That's cool. I have so much Daria fan art. Like, I gotta start memeing them shits. I just need more time in my day, right? Because after this, like, I wanna fucking eat. I wanna eat lunch. I gotta eat my late lunch at like 2 o'clock when I'm done with this. You know, niggas is hungry. Niggas wanna eat. Alright, let's go to Spicy Sean. I don't even, like, fuck it. Like, just Spicy. That's what I call Sean Spicer. He's Spicy Sean. That's his rap name. Here we go. And I mean, you know he's gonna say some old bullshit. Like, this is the man that he's not the one that said alternative facts. That was the other homie. But this is who she was talking about. So, Press Secretary Spicy Sean and his weird fucking forehead. Let's go.
To ensure that the proper vetting took place before they were able to move on.
Yeah, Sean, Hallie's question was about civilians that are being targeted by the administration. Anti-terror raids. And Zeke's question was about Al-Awlaki's daughter. So let me ask you, is the president willing to kill and target American citizens, even minors, just because their family members are terrorists?
No American citizen will ever be targeted. Yeah.
One more follow-up there.
I got it.
One more follow-up. Don't try to get away from a Spicy Sean. One more follow-up. And he's asking a nigga, that audio wasn't too clear because it's from the fucking the press box, where they need to give these niggas lapel mics. Like, get lapel mics, get a fucking, yo, hire me, shit. I can fucking produce. Hire a fucking producer to sit behind a board and switch on someone's lapel mic, you know, when they're fucking on. Like, I have a board right here. It's off camera, but I have a board right here. I work a board. Like, fucking, I have experience with working a board live. Live on video and audio and an internal recording. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, get lapel mics on every single person in that press box. And then fucking, and just have somebody work that board, goddammit. So you get better audio. But he's saying, Barry Hussein, you know, he murked out a Lockie, murked out the Sun. And this is, we gotta pay attention to this shit, right? Because, like, one of the most important things that Barry Hussein said on his way out was, we're all on the same team. And then he said, we're all on the same team, right? And then Barry out, Trump in, 18 hours passed, some shit like that, 18 to 24 hours passed, and boom, a pre-planned bomb already bombs, you know, and that's because, like, you know, these niggas, they don't have time to be doing all this shit. They can't run every fucking thing. They can't make every decision. They gotta trust advisors and higher ups in positions to run with their decisions. So the niggas at the Pentagon, they already planned that strike that murdered Awaki's motherfucking daughter. They had that shit. I know I'm not pronouncing that right. And they had that shit already planned. No matter who the fuck was gonna be president, that was gonna go down. All right, they were gonna do that strike. You know, so, and they're gonna keep doing it because all those people are doing all that work, coordinating, following these motherfuckers, tracking them by their cellular telephones, you know, that whole business. And then they're like, yo, and then they hand the paperwork in to the higher up. The higher up goes to Prezzo, and he says, yo, motherfucking May 19th, we're busting heat down on this motherfucking longitude and latitude. We dump a rail on these niggas. And the president's like, all right, and sign off. And it's done. Because you just sign off. The fucking president ain't finna go in there and do that work and work out those motherfucking coordinates and find out who was motherfucking who. They just sign off.
Qualified for the position, you said earlier, if you're qualified for the position, you should get confirmed. That's not how Merrick Garland was treated in the previous administration.
No, there's never been...
Oh, that is opposing press. You will not see that fat white man in there again. Oh, shit. With his full head of hair. Fuck your full head of hair, buddy. And, damn, so he basically said, you gotta be qualified for position. That's not how Merrick Garland was treated. I mean, what the fuck is qualified? Qualified just means who you know and fucking whose back you rubbed, man. It's all about fucking favors for favors.
A situation in which you had a fourth term, someone that late in an election cycle. That had never occurred before. And I think that the Senate Republicans were very clear that we should wait and let the voters have a choice. And that's exactly what happened. As I noted at the beginning of this, 70% of people thought that the president's choice for the next Supreme Court was a major decision. That was something he campaigned on. I think when you're that late in a term, it had never happened before. And the goal was to make sure that the voters had a say in allowing that to happen. And I think that clearly it worked. The voters looked at that as a major reason in which they voted for the president. And I think that as we move forward, that's why I think we're going to get the support we need. Yeah.
Really? The minority of voters of, nigga, you lost the fucking the pop vote. Like, you got the, it's like, at least say the electors. Say that's what the electors wanted. Don't say that's what the people wanted. Alright, the people wanted the image that MSNBC painted Hillary Clinton as for them. Alright? And if it was Hillary Clinton, that fucking strike would have went down too. You know? And it still would have radicalized niggas because, excuse me, because you ban them, you radicalize them. You bomb them, you radicalize them. The fuck did I just do? Oh, damn, I accidentally closed out the whole entire application. That's all right. We're going to live. We're going to work it the fuck out. The homie Hernandez said, I hate his voice. I hate his voice. I can't stand his face. His eyes are too close together. It's like a reverse Britney Spears. He is just Spicy Sean is an annoying man. All right, so let's go over to Boobadoot Scoot Flip Bop Badooba Doo Juice. this man that was verbally and physically assaulted by a white woman. Now, apparently this young lad is a Broadway actor. And that's something that came up, like, because I don't find these stories. They come in my feed, right? So if you have, like, a Google account or a YouTube account is a Google account and vice versa. And so if you have one of those accounts, you go to google.com and you go to like, your account and go to news. And you can make your own news feed, right? And one of the things in my news feed I have is, in particular, I have cop rapes inmate, cop rapes girl in jail. Like, so that I make sure I get those keywords and sentences filtered in, so these stories just roll into my fucking lap, you know? And then, like, I also have N-word, like, all together as one word. I have N-word and N-space word. And that's how I get those stories of, like, racist children on the school bus, you know, calling their classmates the N-word. And then I have a white girl, you know, and that's how I stay up on what's popping with white feminist bullshit. And I have racist white woman. I added that to Phoenix Collier's first, and I was like, you know what? I want that too. So I have racist white woman in my shit. So these racist white woman stories just tumble in, and those shits don't just, they don't just fucking vanish. They will be highlighted by somebody. Said, that shirt his being. Huh. That shirt his being. I don't know. This is my shirt. This is my old plaid shirt. I got this shirt in 2004. Alright, so, doobadoop,
biscuit-bop-a-doo. Hey, everyone out there. Elijah Amon Lewis here.
This is a very soft-spoken young man. I make sure I have this volume all the way up as he talks.
I wanted to take this time with you. For those who don't know, I am back on tour in Motown Musical.
So he's on tour with Motown Musical. Very well-shaped eyebrows. He did an outstanding job on those.
And we're currently in Reno, Nevada right now. And today, at 3 p.m., I was physically assaulted by a white woman. Physically and verbally assaulted in broad daylight. I was going to get a sandwich right before sound check and started hearing these words and name calling things behind me, and you know, I turned around to see who she was talking to, and there was no one else behind me but her. She was talking to me. And I turned back around and just kept going, just ignored her, and I guess because I ignored her, that made her even more upset.
Alright, so he's telling a story, like, so somebody is harassing him and whatnot, so he pulls out his smart device to start recording.
And when the video ended, I was searching the woman, jeez, and don't sleep on the camera out, and...
Yeah, you my face!
Yeah, so he starts recording her and her shit, and so she responds by assaulting him further.
Fucking hell. You blew up my face. Then don't record me, bitch. Do not record me, you fucking nigger.
Don't record me, you fucking nigger. Fucking nigger. Just a fucking ignorant ass fucking nigger. That's like one of my favorite quotes. Remember that woman in Buffalo that said, you're a racist nigger. There goes the homie Rebecca Loco. And the homie Hernandez just said, I hate Spicer's shirt and entire being. Your shirt is cool. I can't believe this shirt lasted this long. Not so much as a button has popped out of this thing. I got this thing in 2004, and it, like, hasn't faded or anything. Like, excellent fucking shirt. Like, I got no complaints. Yeah, this motherfucker, I think I'm a, I'm gonna have this motherfucker until I die. I may actually never throw this shirt away. Because think about, I got this shirt before I turned 21, and now I'm 33. Alright. And for the podcast listeners, I know all the visual talk has got to be annoying. Get your ass over to Facebook, winecellarmedia.com. Watch the goddamn vidges. Fuck you, nigga, nigga, fuck it. She just, it's like, so now you don't want to be recorded. You were so proud to be that person, but you don't want to be archived as that person. And that's one area where, like, you know it's not morally right. Like, you know you're in the wrong. You just like being a bad person, right? And that's what people are talking about when they say, like, I don't want to have to be politically correct, right? I don't want to have to walk on eggshells. I don't want to have to talk like a social justice warrior. What they're really getting at, and they're not honest enough to say, is I just want to be a bad person. I want to be an abusive person. I want to be a harmful person. I want to be rude. I want to be inconsiderate. I want to be hateful. That's what they're really gunning for when they're saying that. She ain't about no motherfucking eggshells. The fuck you talking about eggshells? Shell these. Jesus Christ. Alright, so I think we got to all of that, right? What was this one? Okay, again, if anybody missed the trigger warning at the top of the episode, yeah, trigger warning, so we gotta get to fucking hardcore, like, this is just oppression like a motherfucker. I'm just gonna lay out that blanket word over this. And so this is a trans woman. These guys are recording themselves beating and harassing and stalking and just fucking terrorizing. There you go, that terrorizing, fucking oppressing this black trans woman right here in the street. You know, and for the folks looking at the video, there's text across the screen, and I'll narrate over it. Alright, yeah, so this motherfucker has a gun in his left hand, and with his right hand, he's like punching and smacking this black trans woman.
Shoot that.
And seeing somebody in the car where they're holding the camera just yelled, shoot that B word.
Shoot that.
And police said the attack may be a hate crime. Maybe. We're not sure. Jesus Christ. An attack in the context of misogyny should be a fucking hate crime. What the fuck are you shitting me? Make me the dictator. We will narrow this population down. Alright, and then the abusers, the monsters, posted this video online. Right, and they recorded themselves stalking this person, right, following her in their car. See, and then like in the audio, like one of them said, "Scare her and keep winning." The fuck you win? You suck. You lose, nigga. You lose. Put William in charge. You lose your breath, nigga. Fuck you. Yeah, see, yeah, like, so she, like, in the video, like, it's a little grainy, but she's fucking running. She's sprinting away from someone that got out of the car and is chasing her on foot. See them niggas laughing, and yeah, now they got her caught up on the corner. Yeah, these niggas are fucking ridiculous. You know, and then the video goes on to cite some facts about trans murder and violence against trans women and black trans women. 90% of the deaths of trans women were murders. You know what I'm saying? You know, shit's in fucking excusable. Whew! All right, winecellarmedia.com, patreon.com/winecellarmediafund. And thank you to those motherfuckers that that hit up the gosh darn Patreon, right? Becker Loco, been there since the beginning of the shit. Cujo Loco, been up in the joint with it. You know, I think some of the homegirls from Secular Sisters. We did lose a subscriber, so that dropped us down. 25 people are currently pledged up. Telling you, man, 1,000 people pledge up at $1 a month. Bam, we're in there. We're in there. I go into that warehouse and I put in my 2 weeks notice. You know, taking a look at some of the folks signed up on the Patreon that hit us up. Oop, boop, skibby, flip, bop, badibba, doo. Right, Adrian Loco, always been down. Matter of fact, hold up. Oh, you homie right there in the chat room. Hernandez, you're in there. Thank you. The homie Darlene Loco up in the joint. Tally Loco. Robin Loco's a new one. Mike Freener been down. Lisa Loco there right behind you. Jordan Loco, Shannon Loco. Sam Loco, Madison Page putting it down, right? Katie, just a gang of y'all hitting up the Patreon. All right, back to winecellarmedia.com. Let's see if we can't hit this on a walk away from this on a less horrible story, maybe. Oh, matter of fact, let's go to the one with the oop bop ba skip bop ba flippy de doo. The 100 years ago, sex workers marched for their rights in San Francisco. Right, you can catch it on winecellarmedia.com. Pick out something from it. Throw it in the social networks. Tag your friends. Tell them, go to this shit. These motherfuckers are the shit. God damn it. That's how you should talk to your friends. That's how. Like, you gotta let them know. So on the morning of, wait a second. What the hell is this? Fuck that. There you go. Now, on the morning of January 25th, 1917, the anti-vice crusader, Reverend Paul Smith, opened the door of the Central Methodist Church in the Tenderloin, surprised to find 50 sex workers bearing down on him, and the women kept coming until they numbered more than 200. In the photograph that ran in the evening's bulletin, they looked like proper ladies. Proper ladies going to church in hats, long coats, and low heels. It was an unusual public campaign by, quote, women of the underworld, end quote, as that evening's headline in the bulletin called them, who had come to speak against a crackdown on brothels planned for Valentine's Day. In a speech directed at Smith, a madam named Reggie Gamble proclaimed, quote, "Nearly every one of these women is a mother or has someone depending on her. They are driven into this life by economic conditions. You don't do any good by attacking us. Why don't you attack those conditions?" Again, capitalism is the problem, not the people. Continuing, tonight, to mark the centennial of the march, sex workers and their supporters will march from the Tenderloin Museum to the location of the church, O'Farrell and Leavenworth Streets, which is now the site of a liquor store. A century later, quote, "There is still no such thing as accepted sex workers' rights," end quote, from Ivy Anderson, who was the editor of the Devon Angus, of the book Alice, Memoirs of a Barbary Coast Prostitute. Anderson and Angus will kick off the evening at the Tenderloin Museum with a talk on the history of sex work in San Francisco from the Gold Rush to 1917. Afterward, when the marchers reach the church, sex educator and equal rights advocate Carol Queen will deliver Madam Gamble's 1917 speech. Gamble, of course, did not succeed in persuading the Reverend to back down on Valentine's Day. Police descended on the city's brothels, which were concentrated in the Barbary Coast, and evicted them one by one. They went door to door to all the brothels and just dragged the women out, locked up the buildings, and locked up all their belongings. Quote, "The main result was not that prostitution disappeared. It just moved elsewhere, to a more dangerous underground, end quote. Don't that sound familiar? They shut down their back page of that day. All right, like, let's not bullshit ourselves. You know the police were raping them, too. And then going home to their wives and saying, I worked hard, cook me a plate, woman. Continuing, quote, 200 underworld women pled with Reverend Smith at the church, end quote, blares the headline in the bulletin the day of the march. For the sex workers who had lost their workplaces, this was much more labor. This was much more a labor battle than a moral one. Wages for single women in legitimate jobs, says a domestic, as a domestic laundress, a secretary, or a stenographer, maxed out at about $6 a week, says Angus. Quote, in today's money, that equates to about $2 an hour. For 10-hour days, 6 days a week, he says. The exception was that you weren't supposed to be a single woman. Your wages were supposed to add to a family's, not support a family. And they still pretend that that's legitimate. It's all bullshit. Oppressors don't try to make sense. The march was the first glimmer of what eventually became the sex workers' rights movement. In the early 70s, you see the first real sex workers' rights organization form, COYOTE, which stood for Call Off Your Old Tired Ethics. Cool. Says Anderson, since 1917, the main thing that has changed, absent of any actual rights gained, is the visibility of a sex workers' rights movement, and COYOTE was fittingly a San Francisco creation. Anderson calls the 1917 march a uniquely San Francisco action. There was prostitution happening all over the country, yet San Francisco is the place where you see an organized group of sex workers try to organize for their rights. All right. And as we record this on Friday, the march for this year already happened. And when I do get back on the clock after I eat dinner and wind my evening down, I'll look for any coverage of the march that recently went down. All right. And again, thank you to the folks at the Patreon. That's patreon.com/winecellarmediafund. All right. Really want to get a good month in. Yeah, well, you want to get all good months in, but damn it, we need a good month so that we can upgrade that website to have unlimited video uploading space. Because that would be a motherfucker. So we don't have to work. Because again, like, somebody can go to the Facebooks right now and fucking, and report our videos, get them taken down. Report our page, just get the whole damn page removed, right? You know, so, and that would be whack as fuck. Shout out to the homie, Tristan Savage, sent Phoenix Collider a nice heavy, heavy hit there. Phoenix used that to help with some bills, because she pays her car insurance twice a year, so she used that toward that. And Phoenix Cleater did go to a Talib Kweli performance Thursday night this week. Yesterday, really. As I record this Friday. And it's ill, right? Like, first Talib Kweli is retweeting her, then Talib Kweli follows her, then Talib Kweli defends her from some asshole fucking with her on Twitter, and then she was like, oh, man, Kweli's performing, and I gotta, you know, and I would have given her the money, but she didn't want to take my money. I don't know why. It's our money. It's in the same household. And so she was like, oh, I don't have the money to go, and Kweli hit her up on Twitter and gave her a free ticket. Socialize the hip-hop, motherfuckers. Socialize the hip-hop. Can you dig it? Won't steer you wrong, only steer you strong. Peep my situation. Alright, and let that be that. So, and that's your wine cellar. I'm gonna shut off the Facebook Live and let the, And let the closing music play, just because I like letting it play, right? That's my thing. Matter of fact, I'll just leave the Facebook Live on while it plays. If you're still watching me, I don't know. I don't know what your deal is. Boo-doo-doo. And now it's time to say goodbye to all you motherfuckers. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Did I fucking bump this thing? It's like my camera moved. My fucking camera moved. You can see my Snoop Dogg stuffed animal on the bed. Let me get my Snoop Dogg stuffed animal. Shit. This is the shit. My homegirl got this for me. Right? Check it out on the can. Look at that. Right, it's a talking Snoop Dogg stuffed animal. That's my shit. Bow wow wow, yippee yo, yippee yay. Bow wow wow, yippee yo, yippee yay. That's the shit. That's fucking dope. Yeah, I got this. It's given to me in, oh man, running back 2007. And I never even took the little package off, but I think she got it at Ross. Like, she was just looking around at Ross, and she was like, oh shit, William would dig this. So, shout out to the homegirl. I got that Snoop Dogg nigga. That Snoop Dogg nigga. The sounds of a dog brings me to another day. Play with my bone, with your Timmy. It seems like a girlfriend making jokes about your Jimmy. But here's a Jimmy joke about your mama that you might not like. Oh, homophobic lyrics. Ooh! And the homie Hernandez said, I was wondering what that was. Yeah. That's my fucking dog. Though I do want a goddamn cat. Alright? I do. I want a goddamn cat. I want a fucking Maine Coon, man. Big ass motherfucker cat. And this, I forgot exactly where I got this closing music from. But I know that it's like a keyboard version of the lyrics to Hit Me Baby One More Time. Da-da-da-da. Hit me, baby, one more time. My loneliness is killing me. And that's your wine cellar. The end of that was irredeemable.